Welcome to the Maneuver Meta, where I, and sometimes Paul, discuss the evolving meta in Flames of War version 4 Late War. I'm Lexi, and I've been playing Flames of War on and off for around 11 years. While I've played on and off, I've continually collected a large German, American, and Soviet armies. At the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, I dragged my roommate Paul kicking and screaming into the Flames of War community. So let's declare our stance to maneuver and ready our reserves. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a long overdue episode of the Maneuver Meta. My name is Lexi, also known as Arkin. I'm your host. And for the first episode today, we have...
Paul, it's me. You'll see me in a lot of games.
Yes, he is the continual roommate opponent. But yeah, I figured I'd bring him in for today because we are moved out of the apartment. We are in... a house, and it's been a very, very welcome change. It's just taken a long time to get everything set up. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think I definitely procrastinated in making content outside of TikTok, but I mean,
Procrastination sounds bad. We've been settling.
Well, we've been really busy, because I would say it's been probably only like a week and a half that we've been able to do this. You know, like with all this noise canceling and everything, with all that finally getting settled.
Yeah, getting everything set up. Getting everything set up and moving stuff around and trying to figure out the layout and everything.
Hell, it took Lulu and I, 3 weeks to get our bed frame assembled because we were just so busy juggling everything.
Just doing other stuff.
Yeah, God. But yeah, so this is the new sound of the Maneuver Meta. I hope that it's not too echoey. We do have a... just mentioned that we got noise-canceling panels or noise-absorbing panels. I forget exactly what they are, but they're supposed to help cut back on the echo, not so much ambient noise, but making it so that we're able to talk in an 8-foot ceiling room and not have it echoing for days on end.
Right.
But so, for sake of this being, I think this is the fourth episode of the Maneuver Meta, and for sake of this being the first one you're on...
that should be the... second one? No, unless the video didn't count.
No, the video didn't count.
Okay, then
no,
yeah,
it would have just been yeah, it just would have been straight. This is my cheater video because I just have to edit audio, not video.
I got you.
So then, in that case, for any of our listeners that somehow haven't been introduced to you, tell us a little bit about yourself. What armies you play? What directions you go with that? You know, for. I guess we could do a touch on 40K, but mostly Flames of War Team Yankee, because that's their main focus.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for Team Yankee, I started with the West Germans, because I wanted to play something German, and conveniently at the time, the West Germans were getting their update and everything, with the 2A5s and the Martyr 2s, and I don't know if there was... anything else in there other than those two vehicles, but the 2A5s definitely caught my interest for them. After the West Germans, I am partway through building my British force for Flames of War. So far, we've got a few Churchills going. I have the rifle company. I'm waiting on some M10s to pop up for me.
And I feel kind of bad because I definitely kind of shoehorned you into that role because that's the one Flames of War army I don't have. Anybody that's watched videos, Paul's always been playing Germans. Spoiler alert, that's my German collection. They were the first army that I started collecting. And when I dragged him kicking and screaming into this, said, what army do you want to play? So I at least gave him the choice. I didn't throw him. And throw it
yeah.
at him. But in terms of collection, I definitely put you in that rough spot.
I feel like it's alright because I definitely appreciate the way the British play. It's
you
nice they're nice
more
and
good with them too.
They're nice and slow and steady, but they're still aggressive. even though the Churchills are, like, not subpar, the Churchill guns are okay. It was their armor that makes me want
to
play the
Churchills. They're hard to kill. Churchills. They're a little more, I guess you could say, forgiving. You know, because if you're caught out in the open, your opponent really has to try and kill late war Churchills.
Well, yeah. You know, the side 8 on a Churchill is still very solid. It's on par with the Tigers.
Yeah. Well, we can piggyback right into our first bit, which is hobby talk. So, what have you been working on hobby-wise?
Mostly the British. A while back it was Adepticon, so I was painting up a whole bunch of the West Germans up until the night before, because
that's right.
That's just my MO for painting stuff, especially for tournaments. But right after that, you started the Escalation League for our local gaming store. So I've been...
Yeah, Game Storm out in Lamont, if any of you listening are in the Chicagoland area and interested in joining an Escalation League. As of recording, it's May 24th right now, we're in the middle of the second of three stages, and it's going to conclude with a tournament, and then after this Escalation League, I'm planning on running a Team Yankee one, so that we can get a community going with both, and then probably running tournaments and tournament leagues after that, once we get a community going, so... Be sure to check that out, Game Storm in Lamont. The owner, John, has Facebook groups towards it. Get in contact with me if you'd like invites to the Facebook group. I'm one of the admins on there, and that's where 99% of the coordination between everyone happens with Facebook.
It's a historic game. It's not going to be a bunch of high schoolers. I'm actually surprised. We do
have pretty decent high schoolers. Yeah, well, we got a pretty decent spread. They're not all... There's actually a pretty decent group of guys around our age, too. You know, late 20s, early 30s.
And yeah.
There's a decent amount of them. Newcomers, you know, most of the old guys have been playing the game for, God, one of the guys in the group. He'd been collecting 15mm miniatures 10 years before Flames of War even launched.
Just because
he thought they were neat. And he had been doing tabletop wargaming, early tabletop wargaming at that point. And he just never found a rule set until V1 Flames of War came out.
And when was that? Wasn't that like 93?
Oh, God, yeah. That would have been sometime in the 90s, maybe 2001. We're going to ignore my clicking.
I thought somebody was mentioning it was 93, but the last guy that I was playing, he also was mentioning that he had been playing 40K for a while.
Yeah.
And... decided to jump into Flames of War. I don't think I caught his reason why, because I was either setting up the table or pulling minis out.
2002.
So
2002 was the first edition.
Okay.
So.
And since 2002, they've only come up with four versions.
Yep, four versions. Four editions have come out, essentially. Mm-hmm. But bringing us back on track for my hobby bit. It's been resin 3D printing. That's been the center of my hobby, getting and terrain to, oh my gosh, because the local store, I have a fantastic relationship with the owner. He and I have been working together, getting stuff, we wanted to be running a league like this, but then the pandemic happened and it just kind of slowed everything down. Mm-hmm. But 15mm, tabletop wargaming isn't... That it's not that it isn't common, it's that stores won't stock the terrain unless they have people there playing it. Unlike 28mm terrain, where there's enough games that use that system.
Outside of GW,
there's like Saga, Bolt Action, Conquest, there's so many ones. So you can buy, a store can feasibly do an expenditure of $200 of like hills, forests, and stuff for 28mm, but... You would need 15mm players to justify the 15mm. So
right.
I ended up pretty much making probably almost four tables worth of terrain that I've 3D printed and been putting together.
And it's all real nice, too, to getting it all painted up and stuff.
Yeah, I'm working on making it so that it's not just rapidly thrown together. We had a tournament years back, whatever the hell that one was, that Drax was putting out, where they did the overnight terrain making, where they just, like, shoddily carved pink insulation foam into, like, these blocky frickin' buildings. I didn't want that to be the case. I wanted people to have, like, decent terrain to fight on.
I don't remember that, but I can already imagine that I was, like, hot garbage.
Yeah, it fulfilled a purpose, but it did not look very pretty. But the 3D printer has made it so that it looks very pretty, and I'm able to paint over the parts that are a little bit more shoddy. But yeah, it's basically four tables worth of terrain that I've printed. And it's all base coated, and now I'm just slowly working my way through now, each week painting a couple houses or a church or some farmhand, whatever the heck it is that I'm working on for that bit.
Fixing up what I didn't do right.
Well, no, that was, to be fair, that was only like one day. You know, yeah, I got that taken care of pretty quick.
Adobe buildings.
Yeah, yeah. But then, actual hobby stuff. Painting wise, I haven't really been doing.
You've been plugging away at that much.
The battle suit. Yeah, the battle suit, because I'm in a painting competition. I think is wrapping up in the next week and a half, so I got to get a fire under my patootie to get that guy working. I'm doing a Tau battle suit for a single model entry, and I'm painting it up with the Soviet shock camo from the 80s, that green, tan, and black camo, so that's kind of integrated on the armor pieces, making it look a little bit more, I don't know, I feel like it looks more grimdark, you know, like the Space Marines, the heraldry definitely comes forward with the color, you know, you can make it grimdark, right. But the Space Marines are still like that Space Knight kind of mentality, not like Imperial Knights, but still Space Knights, where it's, yes, we are in the middle of a war, we're in the middle of a battlefield, but my armor is blood red because I will kick your face in. It never really vibed with me with Tau being along that mentality. Because even though they're muted, they still had pretty good color. Mm-hmm. And the only real camo that they used with this was the stealth suits with the nanomirroring or whatever it is, where they can project what's behind them in front, so it effectively makes them look invisible because it just looks like you're looking right through them. But I'm pretty happy with how it's turning out. So be sure to check out my Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, all my social media, to see photos and videos of that and how that's turning out. Then I'm also painting some Hornisses and Jagdpanzer 470s for Flames of War. The Hornisses are Nash Horns, for those who do not play Flames of War. I don't know why the heck they named them Hornisses. I'd never heard of that terminology for that armored fighting vehicle prior to Flames of War. They were always Nash Horns in every single game I played and everything.
I seem to remember both, but a lot of my exposure was the History Channel and all that, where I'm just absorbing information.
Yeah, maybe it was an English designation of it or something, or a Russian designation.
Yeah.
But that might even just be the German designation for it, because like the WESP, literally, I forget what it translates to, but it's just a German word that was a nickname for it. But then outside of that and the terrain and all my Jagdpanzer 470s and Hornisses are 3D printed with a resin printer, Anycubic Photon S. I've been loving that thing. I've been working on, I had been working on a whole bunch of Soviet stuff for Team Yankee. I got three of the T-72Bs printed, or five of the T-72Bs printed up. Then I got a whole plethora of support elements, or not support, but supporting elements of a battalion. I got three Carnations, three BM-21 Hails, four Shilkas, four Gophers that I'm all painting up in my my olive drab camo scheme, where it's green outlined in red-brown over an olive drab background.
Yeah, looks like a
nice little contrast, a little bit different from everything else that you see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I got my BMP-3s, my T-80s, and the shock camo. But I do have six fitters coming. I think that those actually, I think I got message that those actually arrived, so we'll be getting those this weekend.
Okay, so is that with John?
Yeah, it's with GameStorm.
Okay.
But so I'll be getting my six fitters. I got my check unit cards, so we're going to be able to start throwing checks at each other at some point, but don't know when we'll get our next game of Team Yankee in. You had a pretty good one. You had a pretty good one a week or two ago.
That was really good. That was a really good slug.
Yeah, good slug fight. Check out my TikTok. I had some videos on that bit. But yeah, real busy with hobby. Mm-hmm. I mean, and just getting everything set.
And your most recent project, you've been working on some French resistance for our buddy.
Yeah, and that's printing out partisans, mm-hmm. trying to get those scaled down to 15 millimeter, which has been a lot of trial and error for getting not only the scale right, but printing it at the close enough scale where detail is still present, but then making it so that it's not so bitter that you touch it and it snaps. So it's finally showing fruit, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I finally have, after what feels like days and days and days and days of just curing resin and throwing it out because it wasn't freaking working or wasn't the right scale, I finally have two stands that are glued and have their bases textured that I'm going to do like a really quick and dirty paint up with like washes and stuff to see how detailed it actually is. But it looks solid under the light, so I'm pretty happy with that. But we can jump into our next bit here, which I have titled on my shoddy note paper as Games/Escalation League. So I'll start this one off. The only game I've played, I'll just say recent games, because it's been so freaking long since I've done an episode of Maneuver Meta that
there's been so many games.
I'll just do my most recent ones. So because I'm administering the league, the Escalation League at GameStorm, I'm playing as the Ringer, where I'll only play against someone if they don't have an opponent or an assigned rival for the stage. And so I actually just had my first game against an old friend of mine. He was playing British. I was playing my Germans for the first time in forever.
Yeah, now that
I think I've kind of
let go of them.
Yeah, I think the entirety of V4, I've played 3 games of Germans. One against you when we did that awkward flip game where you tried out Americans.
Yeah.
And then 2 times against this friend who I actually don't know if he's okay with me saying his name. So he's going to be unnamed until he gives me the go-ahead on it. But yeah, he kicked my ass and my dice kicked my ass.
I was pretty sure it was the dice that were
yeah, I can, getting you. I can confidently say that is the worst dice rolling I have had in a long time. And anybody who's listening that plays war games, oh yeah, the dice are always right. I ranged in a smoke barrage with my German mortars on the first turn, and then had 3 turns of attempting to range in on infantry in the open, and I didn't roll higher than a 3. And the time that I positioned the template so that I was needing to roll a 3+ and not a 4, I rolled straight 1s and 2s. At one point, I put 72 dice on the table, needing 5 hits, and I got 4 hits.
Mm.
Granted, that was needing 5s, but still, 72 dice needing 5s, and I only get 4 hits to pin them.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even important at that point. It was just like, I need to put fire into these guys. It doesn't matter if they're pinned or not. They who I need to target. I had my 6.75 half-tracks, the half-tracks with the little stubby gun. They proceeded to get bailed and assaulted.
Yeah.
And then literally assaulted. And then I lost the game on a 3+ counterattack formation command assisted reroll. And I rolled snake eyes.
2 dice at
that. I rolled snake eyes. I rolled a 1 and a 1, because when we do the reroll, we throw 2 dice, pick the highest.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, my buddy was very incredulous through it, because the mission rolled very much in my favor, and he was, I'm going to lose, and I said, the game ain't over till it's over. And then he proceeded to...
Lo and behold, he just marches forward.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, he only took out 1 platoon of Panzer Grenadiers, and 1 set of half tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was whiffing on a lot of his shots as well.
I've been noticing in my games a lot recently, too, that it's not like a high casualty game except for the team Yankee game.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times it's not actually a high casualty game. I'm just taking out like little pieces of dirt and units and then just trying to still take the objective.
Yeah, and he was having he had like three or four roles that were more beneficial to him, and mm-hmm. I could not land a roll to save my life. And so he was just able to walk his infantry up. I had, I think it was one or two assaults where I had over 10 shots of defensive fire with him in the open on careful force.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the highest number of hits I scored in a defensive fire was 3.
That's rough.
So just it's literally so instances where it's, yeah, I have to assault you. Like, from my friend's point of view, I have to assault you right now. I can't wait a turn because I need to get on the objective. You'll beat me back, but that will, if it doesn't, cool, whatever. And then I throw, I think it was 15 dice in that one instance, and 3 of them came up as hits with him 4s in the open because he was charging across the road mm-hmm. at me into a building.
Yeah.
And he then just walked over me in the assault as I failed. I succeeded my counterattack, failed to hit, and he just slow wiped my stands until I failed and had run back. So it was a fun game, don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah.
It's been a very long time since I've been able to play a game with this acquaintance of mine, and it was a lot of fun. And we're wanting a rematch so that it is a little bit more fair for us. But that's been my only real game, full game that I've played, because I've had a couple with another friend that I've been getting him into Flames of War, and he's been playing in the Escalation League, mm-hmm. borrowing my Soviet army, and I've had a couple of games with him, but I don't really count those because it's more of me coaching him through the various game mechanics, how stuff works, of these are the different movement orders and everything. But
it's not like a game where we can just go back and forth and just play the game. We have to stop
and explain what's happening.
We're teaching.
Yeah. You've had some actual games. You've had some actual games through the entire league because you're just playing as Joe Schmo. You're just one of the people in the league, so you've been getting pretty consistent games.
Which I haven't actually had a lot of time to do for a very long time, where it's just I'm one of the guys in the game. But I like how the Dice decided to go the other way with our mutual buddy, because the game previous I was playing and he was on the short end of that stick.
That's right, he was telling me that he had the same as me, where he couldn't roll higher than a 3.
Yeah, so I was able to assault his Averys, the petard guns.
Yeah. Churchill's with the big flub.
Right. Knock one of them out, and then the other one is just ineffective the rest of the game, even though it doesn't matter that if there's only one gun in the unit.
That's right, it has the rules that it does. If there's one gun in this artillery unit, it still fires as if there was 3.
Right.
Takes no penalties to less than 3 guns firing, which is dopey, but
I mean, it makes sense because you can only ever get 2 in the unit.
Yeah, true. So it's similar to aircraft.
Right.
Where if you're... Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
But there's just so many buffs to this gun. I assault the unit because they got too close to the building that my infantry were in. Knock one of the tanks out, force the other one back. That one obliterates the unit because, well, they're in the open now.
Yeah.
But then it just can't do anything else. And then I was able to wipe his SAS with apparently a very well placed mortar barrage.
Better than mine.
But no, the last game that I played was from the Sherman lists, and I thought I really had a good thing going with the Churchills.
Well, we did discover some rules discrepancies that we missed.
Right, you know, the assault and the tanks that were next to me,
Because what ended up happening was we had never gotten into a situation in a game where we had combined assaults going off with tanks and infantry, or tanks and infantry being assaulted by tanks,
mm-hmm.
and the infantry died.
And it's usually pretty one-sided.
Well, and it's not even just one-sided. We just didn't realize that if there's no infantry around in the assault, the tanks just break off and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that made it so that Paul's opponent, who was new to Flames of War, but a longtime tabletop wargamer, so he caught on in like the first two or three turns. He started really... He seemed like he was getting not necessarily knowing what he was doing, but he was beginning to understand and being able to grow on his own as a player, which I always love seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ended up happening for the game when he just rolled forward into your formation command team, killed them, and then the Churchills broke, and which he pointed out the rules, as it was with us not fully understanding how it worked, which just goes to show one of the critiques of V4 with how often we've been playing it, and every time we take a real close look at it, we find out we've been doing something wrong.
Right.
But his point was you could have just moved your formation command into the forest and just sat the Churchills on the objective, and he would have had to shoot your Churchills off the objective.
And that was... That
would have been a lot harder for him to do.
Right. That was my eventual plan, but I couldn't get the Churchills over fast enough because they ended up coming in on the opposite
corner. Oh, no. He was saying, literally, the turn before he assaulted you, mm-hmm. just... skedaddling the infantry into the forest by the mortars. Literally getting the infantry as far, like, 8-inch move, straight back along the edge. Who cares if they're not digging in?
Mm-hmm.
Make it so that they can't be assaulted by the Shermans, and then the Shermans are sitting there with one Churchill on the objective. So, go ahead, kill me.
And the only thing that can really do something is the... What was it, the 7.6 gun?
Yeah.
76?
Yeah, versus him just rolling into your infantry and then the Churchill's breaking.
Even compared to my side, the AT is 12, so I need to roll 4.
But yeah, so we're it's a continual learning process for instances. Scuttlebutt I've been hearing from various channels that will remain unnamed is that a new Lessons from the Front should be coming out in the next few weeks, which is sorely needed. To avoid beating a dead horse with a stick after the whole debacle at Adepticon.
Yeah, that's...
Which was an entire process and a half. Shaking everything
to the foundations.
Yeah, and if you guys don't know what's going on with that, I'll give the TLDR of it. The rules and command cards that are... Command cards are cards that are purchases, upgrades for units, or give you access to special units.
And formations.
The person that won the Flames of War tournament for Adepticon, the list was posted online and the community pretty much reacted as, how is that legal? Because there was 3 or 4 different things that were illegal with the list as the current rules. And then Battlefront came, did a little powwow, and then went to explain as to why it was legal. And whatever, they made it so that it was legal. You can't tell my bias in this situation. But thinking about it a couple weeks later, I mean, what are your choices in that instance as the company? Because the big issue with this tournament was it was a nationals tournament.
Yeah.
Which, granted, my opinion with nationals, or not nationals, masters, because we live in the U.S., you know, so we have the Flames of War Masters. And if I remember correctly, we are one of the last holdouts for the master system. Like, I was talking to some of the Breakthrough Assault guys, and they got rid of their Masters group. And so they're not dealing with that anymore with it because of the drama that it makes. Because that was the problem with this tournament. Because if you win a Nationals tournament, you get an invite to Masters.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of the tournament had a clearly illegal list. And so Battlefront had 2 choices. Admit the list was illegal, invalidate a Nationals win, and go down that road, which people would still be screaming at them about. Or explain why the list is legal, which then people are still going to be screaming at. Yeah. So thinking about it down the road, when it was in the height of it, I was saying you just need to admit that you were wrong and move forward from there. But looking at it down the line, it was really a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
And I know that we are like a full month behind the times on it, but I haven't gotten my butt around to recording stuff on it. But the errata and FAQ has been sorely needed, and
it's been a minute since they
November was the last one, and the November update wasn't even that big of an update. You know, I think it was only like a handful of things that they added into it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how it goes. I am going to say it now in case it happens so that I can have the ha ha ha, I called it moment for the sake of my ego. And I really, knock on wood, am hoping this is not what Battlefront is going to be doing. They had the debacle happen at Adepticon. They released their rulings that came into effect not as their Lessons from the Front errata, but of the same power.
Mm-hmm.
So they're held up to the same legal standard, basically, for the game. I'm worried that their next errata is going to cause them to say that that list was legal at that time. That they're going to explain why it is illegal as per the new interpretation of the rules. That is the rules that people were understanding prior.
So you guys were right, but we had to say...
But we had to say, no, you're wrong, and now we're just going to start from a blank slate. I really hope that that is not the case. I really hope that if that is kind of what happens, that that is not the intentional line of thought, that they went, hey, we have to cover this. This is legal. It's BS, but we can't... And again, 100%, them going down the other route of invalidating his win,
mm-hmm.
saying that the winner, no, you did not win, and them going through the entire process of invalidating a Nationals event would be just as problematic. But mm-hmm. either way...
But we digress.
Yeah, we digress. The new Lessons from the Front will come out. Hopefully, it will answer questions instead of causing more questions. More questions will always be raised, but I'm really mm-hmm. just hoping that the instances of... Man, I'm blanking on the words. Because the thing that immediately pops to head is the Bagration German card, 20th Panzer Division, and the D-Day German card, 116.
Wow, 116. Yeah.
They have the exact same wording on the card, but they are implemented in different ways.
Yeah.
116th, the discount goes to all units in the formation, and 20th, it just goes to the black box units. And you would think that that would be shown on the card, but the verbiage on the card is literally, or I shouldn't say literally, let me pull it up here to make sure I'm not speaking too far out of my posterior.
The 20th...
Pulls up on my computer here.
The 20th is essentially the same. It just hits the...
It just hits the black box.
Yeah, the black box infantry units.
So 20th Panzer Division NCO shortage. All units in the formation have a... Bah, 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 they modify it. They make the ratings worse so mm-hmm. that you get a points discount for -2 points per unit. Now, going to 116th Greyhound out of D-Day German, doing the same thing. Well, not the same, but essentially the same thing. You're discounting for worse stats to get more. Where are you? There we are. All units in this formation lose Third Reich and have standings, blah, 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 change. So it literally says all units in this formation. 116th hits all units in this formation. 20th only hits black box units.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I'm hoping gets cleared up with this Lessons from the Front, that we get a baseline so it's not an instance of, well, we have examples of both, and now we just have to keep track of what's what.
Right.
Because rules as written, there should be no reason why 20th is any different from 116th, but I think that they errata'd it so that it wouldn't become the next 116th without realizing that in that errata,
they just
made 116 that much better, more again. Powerful.
Again.
Which I went over in my German meta. But for the Escalation League, I have been running two lists. Well, essentially two lists, because whenever I'm paired with someone as the ringer, I try to make sure to nationality... I guess you could say nationality match them. If they're playing Allies, I'll bring Axis, my Germans. If they're playing Axis, I'll bring my Americans. So I'm playing an Armored Panzer Grenadier company with the entire core, or not the core, but the idea behind the list being I am doing a Von Sauken bubble, playing it mm-hmm. like 7th edition Tau jetpacks, where I'm able to blitz out on a 2+, fire at full rate of fire, and then shoot and scoot back into cover on a 2+.
Right, because Flames of War Germans have that handy-dandy stormtrooper that makes them so much more expensive.
Yeah, and Von Sacken makes it so that you can actually use it. And so that's one of the reasons why I am painting, I've printed and painted up an entire unit of Hornises, because that front armor, too, doesn't necessarily matter to me when I can just bunny hop around tall terrain, get my shots off, and get back. So
he's quite inexpensive, too, at, what, 4 points?
Yeah, he's 4 points, and he gives the bonus to it. And he is another one of those issues where, depending on which ruling you look at, he does one thing or another, depending on what units he affects. Some rulings make it seem like he affects Bagration German-only units. Mm-hmm. I think I was telling you about this, and then other rulings make it look like that he affects Bagration German units and any support units, but not formations. So if you are to take, SS Tigers as a black box unit for formation support...
Okay. Yeah, we were talking about that.
It is to the air as to whether or not he gives that buff to it. So that's one of the things that's frustrating about V4. That's at least mitigated, easily mitigated. You just have a talk with your TO for the things that you're trying to do, either prior to list submission, or if it's minor rule stuff, like we did that with Adepticon. I sat down with the TO. I had, like, 4 rules clarifications. You know, like, one of the ones being, you know, what is the definition of within? Is it breaking the plane, or is the entire model have to be behind the line kind of deal? You know, stuff like that, where the rules are a little ambiguous, but they kind of made V4s more of a beer and pretzel game, not a tournament game, so you can't really smack them upside the head for that. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff. You talk to your TO about these. Get these figured out, you know, for things that aren't necessarily clear. So, like, I would talk to a TO if I was bringing this list to a tournament and being like, hey, what is your ruling on Von Sacken? Is he allowed to provide, is his aura able to be applied to black box formation units? Yes or no? Whatever the TO says, that's what I roll with. You know, I'm very, I argue a lot on the Facebook page, but I like to think that I have a little bit of reasonableness behind it, that I will argue it for argue's sake, that this is how I think it should be interpreted, and there's definitely a level of therefore it is right, which is a defect of mine, but it's something that I try and work on.
Unless presented with substantial evidence that contradicts you.
Yes.
This is what I'm believing.
Yeah, and that is what is online in Facebook, though. At a tournament, if I say, hey, this is how I think this is supposed to be interpreted, and the TO says, I don't care how you think it's supposed to be interpreted.
Well, obviously, all right, I go with the TO.
I swallow the pride and go, okay, this is what I have to do. You know, so it's kind of interesting to me where it's like, yes, I've had some people in the community be like, I didn't expect you to be that kind of easygoing with it, because the only interactions they have with me is online, and online I am just trying to break the rules, making the jank lists, and arguing with people over what the definition of within means.
Right. Just so that we can get clarification on that, so we can actually, like, play legitimately.
Yeah, but for my Germans for the league, I'm running a 19th Panzer Division, no respite, out of Bagration German, like I said, with Dietrich von Sacken. And then my Americans is a armored rifle company with, I think I'm running Patton with it. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, because we have a... abundance of allied players, not that many axes, so the Germans have gotten a little bit more focus.
Which I was especially surprised at, but I was pleasantly surprised at, because I imagined there would be a whole bunch of German players, but no, I saw there were, how many British players do we have?
There's like a lot of British players, but the thing you have to remember with that too is that this is an escalation league.
Yeah.
If I say, hey, we're having a 105-point tournament, you can bet your sweet bottom 1/16th is going to come out of the wall.
Well, yeah.
Because that's the competitive one. So absolutely. I'm not going to say I wasn't surprised when I saw how few German players there were, but it wasn't that I wasn't expecting it. It did not surprise me per se. It was kind of a, this is neat. You know, something that was in the back of my head as a possibility, but I didn't know how it was going
to
turn out.
Right, because that was one of the reasons why I wanted to do British, because it was like, I was pretty much convinced that it was going to be all Axis players. Yeah. And it's like, I'm just going to bring British because then I can actually like get red versus
blue games. Yeah, red versus blue games.
And whereas then I totally would have been okay opposite. With getting Hungarians.
Yeah, I think we got like, I think 75% of the field is allied and then the other 25% is Axis.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some people that that have played the game for 15, 20 years who straight up asked, hey, what does the league need? And I told them, we need German players. And both of their responses were like, what? People aren't playing Germans?
Yeah.
So it was kind of, it was similar to you. Like, Germans are so good right now. And you, well, yeah, they're good in the meta when you're playing competitively. But when you're playing a beginner-friendly escalation league, you know, that's one of the things I love about this community. You know, they are kind of pulling their punches. You know, they're trying to get people into the game. You know, they're not bringing full, but we're fortunate that we have a good community.
These guys are
us.
Also hurting for people to play with because after the old store went out of business.
Yeah. Yeah, there really was. Yeah, and they had one other store that was kind of running stuff, but the only games that I really saw happening from the online perspective, there wasn't a coordinating force behind it like what I'm doing with GameStorm.
Yeah.
Of, hey guys, we're having an escalation league. Sign up is this date. Hey guys, we're having a tournament. Buy-in is $10. It is happening on this date.
Yeah.
All of the games at the other store in the area, still like an hour away, it just seemed like they were pickup games.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem like there's any sort of stuff. So they are all wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful people.
And it's been a couple of the guys I knew it from the old store too, and
they
never really
neat.
Caused me any trouble. They were polite and everything, so it's like I have no problem playing with these people.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been a neat experience. I'm excited for Team Yankee because I will say it until I'm blue in the face. Flames of War is what got me into the hobby. Team Yankee is what's keeping me here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love Team Yankee. I can't wait to be able to get a league going with that. But that pretty much covers all of our bits, and we'll go into I've compiled basically screenshots of everything that's been revealed for Bulge Germans
so far.
So we're not previewing information, so to speak, because even though I am at 10,000 followers on TikTok and I'm trying to nudge Battlefront, I was not included on the preview cycle for this, so this is just a reaction. We are not presenting any new information. This is already available at other sites. Mm-hmm. The majority of this information I actually took off Battlefront's official YouTube video. I just screenshotted different points. Yeah, so this is all stuff that they revealed, that the points and everything that I was shocked with was what they were revealing.
Yeah.
So we can.
Well, you were talking to me about it a little bit ago, but if we'll pull these up real quick.
Yeah, I'm looking first for the force organization chart. So, got it on the computer, so you guys aren't going to be able to really see what it is that we are going over. So I will try to walk through verbally as best I can. So what I pulled up right now is the force organization chart, and the thing that hit me when I first saw this is, pardon my French, but this book is fucking massive. It has Panzer Brigade, SS Panzer Divisions, Tank Hunters, and Infantry Formations.
Right.
Just as formations.
Because the last time they did anything, it was just the D-Day guys, just the SS, just Bagration.
Well, in Bagration German, there was SS in it, but it was command cards. So D-Day, I feel like this is the culmination of their experiment. Mm-hmm. I feel like D-Day, they did Germany and SS as separate books with separate command cards.
Mm-hmm.
Then Bagration comes out and they go, can we combine this?
Right.
Are we able to combine this? And then Bulge has come out, and it's kind of like a mix of the two. But very, very large book, very large command card deck.
Especially with the brigade stuff.
Yeah, the brigade stuff is awesome, and the command cards making it so that you can even take brigades and play them as regular companies as well, which is very nice, so you're not locked with it. But needless to say, it is a very, very large book, which I was pretty excited about because Germans have been needing an update. So, starting with our reveals here, pardon the clicks. We're going to go with our brigade bits first. So the brigades are the less... Or not less. They're lesser trained. So we have a armored Panzergrenadier company and an armored assault company.
That's the other thing that Bulge was pulling out too, were the automatic rifles.
Yeah, assault rifles. So both of these have very, very similar. It's assault rifle versus Panzergrenadier platoons. But otherwise, everything else you can see is literally the same. You have Information Brigade 470 units, which is pretty neat.
And it looks like the flak platoons are black box options.
You have to take one of the new flak platoons. So the new flak platoons, to bring those up on the screen so Paul can see them, because I'm not sure if he's...
Oh, no, I've definitely seen them. Okay. It's definitely going to be the triple ones for me.
Yeah, the triple ones are pretty neat just for the extra rate of fire, which is going to be interesting in counter meta to the 116th for how prevalent the half tracks are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those will actually kind of start Team Yankee style shredding the half tracks.
I was going to say, it feels like they're going to start going a little bit more in the direction of the Gepards.
Yeah.
Because
not to the effectiveness level of the Gepards, but having something with a lot of rate of fire that can do something.
Because obviously, so Flames of War, the planes are, or the aircraft is really wonky on actually being useful and like being shot at. So most of like the AA guns are being used for like the 88s, the 88 AA guns. Those are for essentially very cheap AT-14 guns for your anti-tank options. And then the flak trucks for light vehicles and infantry.
Yeah. So the infantry platoons, though, for these brigades, you have the assault platoons and the Panzergrenadier platoons. The Panzergrenadier platoons are your bread and butter Panzergrenadier platoons. They are MG teams, halted 3-2, 16-inch range.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing, one of the big things that's coming with this book is Panzerfausts are limited two now. So two stands can activate and fire as them instead of the one, that's which is pretty nice.
Really big.
Mm-hmm. And then the assault platoons now, though, however, are armed with the STG-44 assault rifles, which is basically an 8-inch SMG.
Mm-hmm.
Halted, moving 3-3 with pinned rate of fire 1. So,
and it,
pretty neat.
1-6 for the anti-tank and firepower?
Yeah, 1-6 for the anti-tank and firepower.
And then 8 inches on the range because it's obviously a little bit bigger.
It's a little bit bigger than... A little bit bigger. No, it was actually around the same size. It was a longer barrel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if I remember correctly. No, actually, yeah, I'm speaking on my ass. I don't remember off the top of my head. But the big thing with the brigades is the points discount because they are reluctant with a 4-plus last stand. That's a 5-plus motivation overall.
Yep.
Trained at a 4-plus with an aggressive hit-on rating, but still at the 3-plus infantry save. So, however, the neat thing with that is... As I scroll, is this the right one that I was looking at? Yes, maybe. Okay, I don't know where it was that I saw it, but they do have a card that makes it so that they become careful, confident, but it's like 5 or 6 points per company, which
right. Obviously, that's going to be a point increase instead of a point decrease.
But it 6 points may sound like a lot for a points increase, but the brigade armored assault platoon min strength or under strength, so 5 STG-44s with Panzerfausts and 3 half tracks is only 7 points.
Yeah.
You know, going full strength to up into 4 half tracks and 7 STG-44 teams, it's 10 points. So you can... The Germans are having some potential for spam. And it even carries that next further.
Which they haven't really been able to do a whole lot of. No. I think the closest they got was the SS book.
SS book and the beach defense formations, which the didn't have armor.
Yeah, the beach defense didn't have any kind of tanks.
No, and we now have Brigade Panther Late tank companies, which the Panther Late armor has... kicked up from 9 to 10,
mm-hmm.
which I've heard
which is still going to be pretty big.
Yeah, I've heard it explained in multiple different ways. But it's the Panther G. It's the late war Panther.
Mm-hmm.
But three of the Brigade Panthers with the aforementioned soft stats, aggressive 3+, reluctant 5+, with a last stand of 4+,
mm-hmm.
trained 4+. Three of them is 20 points.
That's not bad.
That is one point less than the Decoy Tank Company.
Now, it looks like that's also the bare minimum that you can take and the maximum.
Yep, you can only take three
for 20.
So one of the lists that I saw, I forget who it was. I think it was one of the Breakthrough Assault guys, because I've been getting integrated in with that community. They are toying around with a Brigade Panther Company and a Brigade Hetzer Company. And it is Soviet level of tank spam that is low-key hilarious. The amount of stuff that they're able to put into this list, which I don't remember where it is, and I'm not going to take the time to dig through it, but you can spam Germans pretty well now. I think three Panzer IVs is 13 points.
That's a lot better than the SS ones, because the SS ones are 16, if I remember correctly.
Because you're still reluctant. So that is the big thing you're going to have to be careful about with playing these brigade formations.
Once you bail one out,
you're on a 5+.
Yep.
For it, which is rough. But for the sake of...
Which was kind of my big thing with the British stuff. The Battle Weary or War Weary, however, whatever nomenclature they decided to use for it.
Yeah.
It's very hard for me not to take the command card that gives them a 4 up from a 5 to a 4. It's so big.
Yes. Yag Panthers. Yag Panthers are here.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting formation. It's a standardized formation, so they are getting hit on... If I can find myself here. Get rid of you. Get rid of you. Get rid of you. Keep you. They are your standard German stats. Hit on 4, careful 4+, last stand 3+, and a veteran skill. So it is Panther Front Armor 9 with a King Tiger gun. Two of them are 24 points. Three of them are 37. So not that bad, but the problem is with where we're getting in late war, Front Armor 9 is not what it used to be.
No, because now the Germans, obviously on the Egg Panther, now you're going to be seeing AT-17.
And on the King Tiger, you're going to be seeing AT-17 as well.
Right. And being on a turreted tank, that's pretty huge.
Yeah. I mean, granted, the 24 points for 2 isn't that bad, but the main thing is you're dumping points into Front Armor 9, which even against AT-14 is dicey.
Right. At that point, why not just take the two Tigers and have a side armor of 8 also?
Yeah.
Which I would, even earlier, I was saying it's really hard to get through 8.
Yeah. One of the other formations is Yag... Oh, going back to the Yag Panthers real quick for their formation, is their second black box is one of 4 options.
Mm-hmm.
Yag Panther Tank Hunter Platoon, a Hornice Tank Hunter Platoon, a 470 Tank Hunter Platoon, or a Stug Tank Hunter Platoon. So, nice options getting thrown around there.
Oh, yeah.
And then the three things I'm excited for with this book is our big cats. We have a Yag Tiger Tank Hunting Company. Finally seeing the big cats. The 12-8 Yag Tiger. Which, similar to the Yag Panther, the black box second option is either a Yag Tiger Panzer IV or Stug Platoon. And then they also have the Tiger II Tank Company in two forms. The SS, which are the 3+ aggressive rating with better motivation. And then they have the regular Wehrmacht Tiger IIs that have 4+ hit on, but worse motivation.
Right.
So they got both of those. And a Tiger II platoon, pulling up our points here. Two of them are 36 points. So they go to Front Armor 16 with AT of 17 and a 48-inch range. They still have a 10-inch tactical, which is...
Surprising.
Surprising. Very surprising.
I
would have
thought they would have been at least been an 8 just because they're so
massive. Their dash is hot garbage. The terrain dash is 12, cross-country is 16, and their road is 18.
I mean, what's really going to get through the front of 16, though?
Yeah, not that much. And side 8, and then it's got the long 88.
Yeah, so it's got three the plus 17.
3 plus cross as opposed to the 2 plus of the regular Tiger, so that's something to kind of think about. Your cross tracks are going from 82% to 66%.
From
so
nearly
that's
guaranteed
to
having to actually roll dice about it.
Yeah, but the Tiger, the Wehrmacht Tiger tanks, have a confident motivation, but in opposition to the D-Day German and Bagration German Tigers, they have a modified Tiger Ace of 2 plus last stand. And the regular Tiger has a 2 plus remount, whereas the King Tiger has a 3 plus remount, which is kind of interesting.
That is real interesting.
So a little minor difference, but two Tigers are still 24 points. So 36 versus 24. So a relative bump up. Regular Tigers are still going to be pretty terrifying. And there's that one formation as well. I forget what it's called off the top of my head, but you can take a Tiger platoon with 4 points discount per Tiger.
That's right.
So you can feasibly get Tigers out on the field, which is pretty crazy. And then the SS1s, two of them is 31 points, which puts them at a hit on aggressive 3+, trained skill instead of veteran skill, and then a flat SS Tiger 2+ motivation, yeah, which is nice across the board.
It's real hard to argue with the soft stats for the SS, especially for like the remounts, motivation, and trained is kind of situational, just because that's like your shooting scoot at the very least.
For when you're getting into these point levels, you know, I'd argue the 5 points to make them careful is going to be that much more important, because that's protecting your side armor.
Right. We were just talking to the guy about how crucial the careful hit on is, because there's just so many dice being pumped into careful guys that sixes, we needed sixes to actually hit, and we were just rolling fives.
Well, swap into the final round of big cats, and the last thing we're going to mention today is the Yag Tigers. And so the Yag Tigers, if I can find where are... Did I get rid of it? Okay, well, where's the SS? It's 31 points for two SS Tigers, Tiger 2s.
Mm-hmm.
31 points for two Wehrmacht Yag Tigers.
Which have front armor of 17.
And a firepower 2 plus gun.
I think that's the first one that we've gotten, right?
No, the Soviets. The IS-2s.
Soviets got a 2 up?
120 okay. Have a 2 up as well.
But it's anti-tank is what, 18?
18. This one is 18 because it's the 128mm gun. 48-inch range, halted 2, moving 1, brutal forward firing and slow firing, 8-inch tactical, 12-inch terrain, 14-inch cross-country, 16-inch road dash, and a 3-plus cross.
See, that was the kind of stuff that I thought the Tiger 2 was going to have.
Yeah, I thought the Tiger was going to have an 8-inch tactical, or the Tiger 2 was going to have an 8-inch tactical, but it has a 10.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the ones I'm excited for. Two Yag Tigers for 31 points, that's feasible.
Right.
That is feasible
and
on the list.
Front armor 17, which we were just talking, the 16 is hard enough to get through. I have one on top of it.
Yeah, and it makes it that much harder.
Yeah.
And then the final bit that I'm excited for, and one of the things I'm actually working on, is Volksgrenadiers. I have a set of the metal ones back from V3, one single assault company. So I'm going to, assault platoon, I don't have an entire company, so I'm going to need to be picking up a company. You have the command cards to bump up their stats, which is pretty important because their stats are the brigade stats. 5 plus reluctant, 4 plus last stand, 4 plus trained, 3 plus hit on with a 3 plus save. The thing that I love about the Volksgrenadiers in opposition to the armored assault platoons, I forget what it is, the Panzergrenadiers with the STG-44s, is two of the stands in the unit have the option to fire as an MG-42. They have
HMG?
No, just a regular old MG-42 team. So your teams are STG-44 assault rifle teams with MG-42 and Panzerfaust. And you have a limited 2 on the MG-42 and Panzerfaust. So if you need to, you can have a 16-inch range MG-42 fire instead of the STG-44.
Right.
Which is a nice touch, flexibility-wise. Mm. And you can throw two Panzer Schrecks on each platoon.
Oh, we got those.
You can put two Panzer Schrecks. So you can have two Panzer Fausts and two Panzer Schrecks per unit.
Okay.
That's starting to get pretty freaky.
And they come with the Panzer Faust. Then the Max company, it looks like the Max platoon is also 8 points for seven stands.
8 for 7 stands, making it 10 for the two Panzer Schrecks, which is pretty reasonable. And I think upping the stats is putting them into 15 or 16 point range, which ain't that bad.
Especially for Germans. They're pretty hefty already for a lot of the older units.
Yeah, but one of the interesting things here with the Volksgrenadier Company is the black box is an assault platoon and a rifle platoon. And the rifle platoon is just ye old Wehrmacht rifle platoon.
Yep.
Halted 2, moving 1, MG42, K98 team. But they also have the option to take two Panzer Schrecks. So I am definitely going to be throwing together a bunch of Volksgrenadiers. I'm going to be putting a video up onto my YouTube channel here, hopefully in the next few days, as I work through. I'm currently stripping my metal of Volksgrenadiers that I have because they were painted almost 10 years ago, and it shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very excited to be able to give those guys a fresh coat of paint and put them on some beautiful resin bases. But, the support bits, I don't think I have any of the cards to show you, but I was telling you about the Sturm Tiger. It's 14 points, and it has the Avery rule, where it only ever fires as a full, which is why are you going to run any other artillery? You have flame panzers, Hetzers, the main flame guns, the main finally. Guns removed, but you have a flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty important, because previously the only way to get flamethrowers in Germans was half-tracks or taking Fortress Europe and using Flame Panzer 3s. Those were the only ways to get flamethrowers.
Which were still pretty paper thin.
Yeah, and then at that point you might as well just take the in-formation ones. Let's see, what are some of the other ones?
We got jets now.
Oh, yeah, the ME-262, which the big thing with that is it is hit on a 6-plus base, so if it's concealed, it's now a 7.
Yep.
And that's all that I've been able to find on Bulge German. So needless to say, I am very excited about this. I enjoy my Jag Tigers. I enjoy my Volksgrenadiers. I have 3 Tiger IIs, but I don't know how often I'm going to run them, because I don't see why I would run Tiger IIs when I can just run 2 Jag Tigers. You know, the brigade is going to be interesting being able to spam, because it's basically Germans with roughly Soviet stats.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be very interesting running those, because I've been playing a lot of Soviets. A lot of Soviets across the board. So my 4-plus head has been destroyed. I now see the table as a 3-plus head on player.
Yep.
But that, I believe that is really it from us. So,
yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. Hopefully we're going to turn this into a monthly thing now that we got the every bit finally set up. So keep your eyes peeled for the next one. There, we're live.
Well,
oh, we can give it to a little me, because we're just gonna cut this out.
Well, I guess we're not on camera then.
No, it's a podcast. This will be the extra bits at the end. So if anyone actually listens all the way through, they can hear our confusion.
Oh boy.
Oh shit! I forgot my notes. Keep track of us.
Aren't you looking for your headphones too?
No, I found my headphones.
Okay.
I'm right there. Alright, so we got our. Fuck, what was it that I wanted to do? Intro, hobby, games/league, and then Bulge preview. Bulge preview review.
As far as I know, I'm here to rant and.
Yes, but I know how sidetracked we get, so I wanted like a. List, because got like an hour ish, so we can knock it out quick. But let me get a 5-second count here of silence so that we have a nice little block for me to go...